Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Preacher and Miracle Man Show. We're so glad you could join us on this fine Tuesday night here in Michigan. I'm at McDonald's, my normal McDonald's here at 1711 South Saginaw. Across the street from a Kmart, and next door to the northwest of me is a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office. To the southeast of us is a Marathon gas station. Used to be an Admiral, but now it's a Marathon. And, of course, I'm in McDonald's. I'm near the front today, so sorry about the noise.
I can't hear much, so it ain't too bad. I'm in McDonald's in West Branch.
Yep, and so, this morning, I was just thinking about something. This morning, Preacher Man did a live video on Facebook where he talked about the military, he listed for the last couple of days the names of the service members who died.
Yeah.
And that. But he also, he pledged allegiance to the flag of our country, and he prayed for America, and he prayed the Lord's Prayer. And so if you are on Facebook, I would encourage you to see the video, watch the video that Preacher Man shared this morning, because it was very good and powerful. I saw the notification that he had a video, and so I'm thinking, oh, he shot a video, so I'm going to watch it and see what's on it, Because I knew it would be good if you did one. So I'm like, I'm going to watch this video. And I do. And
but can I say something about that?
Yes.
Because one of the problems in many people's lives is the words that they say. And I told a whole lot of people that I would never forget those who have fallen. And this is my way. This isn't anybody else's. This is my way to never forget. But I'm not going to just say the names of the troops. I want us to pray and talk to God. Nothing better to do than to pray the Lord's Prayer and say the pledge and name the names of these fallen so they'll never be forgotten. And that's my way. It might not be somebody else's, but that is my way. So anyways, that's all that is. It's a good thing.
All right.
Go ahead.
All righty. And as Christians, we should all know the Lord's Prayer, Dr. Barclay's done teaching in the past on the Lord's Prayer, and I would strongly encourage you to go to marktbarclay.com and search for those teachings, order them, listen to them for yourself, because it's really important that we know the Lord's Prayer. And if you're new to prayer, if you just met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you just got to know Him, and let's say you're just learning how to pray, that could be a good place to start.
Yep.
And for some of us, who might have forgotten it, even though we do pray, it could just be a reminder about being grateful, and I thank you, God, that you forgive my debts, you forgive my trespasses, and all that. So powerful. And the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag is great. And if you go to one of these churches that do it, at my church we do it. I would not take it lightly. I would always make sure that I'm standing, my hands on my heart, and I'm not talking while we're doing the pledge, if I were you. Because I shouldn't talk during the pledge, but I'm just saying if I'm one of you guys, that if I were you, I would not be talking. My hands would be on my heart. You know? Or during the national anthem. If you're in one of those churches like mine where we do the national anthem before Sunday morning service or whatever service you do, I would stand in attention, facing that flag, hands on the heart, being silent, or singing quietly. You choose. But, you know, pay attention. And just be great patriots, you know. And so that was just something that was on my heart. Now, for tonight, the plan is this. We're going to read tonight. I'm going to continue teaching about Moses. And then we're also going to read our faith chapter. After that, we're going to do our exhortation. We're going to also do my final segment of the car series that I've been doing, and this time it's going to be about how these car speaker systems have really evolved compared to what they were, you know, 15 years ago or so. And so that's going to be something to look for, as well as sports from yesterday evening, as well as I'm just going to call and get into some football, but it's going to be NFL thoughts. I don't know exactly whether that's going to be specifically from Sunday's game or about the games coming up. But it'll be kind of NFL thoughts. The Lions have announced basically that the new coach, the reported new coach, is gonna revamp his coaching staff to try to get a better defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, a quarterback's coach. Excuse me. So it's gonna be part of the sports segment tonight is gonna be NFL thoughts. And it's just gonna be some of it's gonna be based on the Lions and what I see for next year. And others of it is gonna be like these playoffs, as well as the Super Bowl coming up. And so that will be something to look forward to. So if you're just joining us, the plan for tonight is teach on Moses. I mean, read Exodus on Moses. We're going to read 15 and 16 tonight. And then we're going to read Hebrews 11 and 12. I mean, Hebrews 11 and the first couple verses of 12. After that, we're going to do the exhortation based on how the Lord leads. We're going to talk about cars. Then we're going to get into sports / my NFL thoughts. And so that's going to be the show for tonight. Now, before I do the how-to, I will say that this opening monologue has been brought to you by Grand Traverse Pie Company, where today on 1/23, January 23rd, you can go to a Grand Traverse, any Grand Traverse Pie Company, and get a slice of apple crumb or cherry crumb pie with any purchase. So you can go in there, get a coffee or a hot cocoa, hot chocolate, or a soda, and you can get yourself for free with that purchase a piece of pie. Like I said, apple crumb or cherry crumb
pie. Wow.
So this is in celebration of National Pie Day. And so if you're looking for a free sweet treat, go check that out. In Midland, Grand Traverse Pie is on North Saginaw Road, west of Eastman, near Orchard Drive. Also, there is location in Mount Pleasant and other locations around the state of Michigan. So see your location for details. Offer ends 9 p.m. today. Now, you listen to the show, and you may be thinking, hey, Miracle Man, I got some new people. I got some people who have told about your show, and they're really interested in hearing what is being said on this program. What do I tell them to do so they can enjoy this great program also? Well, I say this every show. I hope nobody is bored with this, but as we continue to grow our audience, we have to make sure to give the how-to and how to connect. And so, with that in mind, what you would tell these people is this. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that's all one word. blogtalkradio.com. You'll see a search bar. In that search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. So Upfront, like, you know, Upfront, like at Meijer, Entertainment. Upfront Entertainment. And then you click on the link, and that'll be us. And we are on tonight, episode number 74. Get it? It's episode number 74 tonight. So tomorrow night will be our 75th. And
wow.
So, and we have the 73 episodes that we've done before tonight. They're all archived for you to go on there and listen to. And we've done amazing things. My Christmas stuff's up there. Some other songs we've done. We had great discussion last night on loved ones who may be getting ready to pass and what we would say. And we have a lot of great words up there that you can go and listen to, and all my NFL picks, all of my football picks, which include my NFL picks that you can go through and listen to it, and you can see, well, that's how we got here. But that's just an example of what's on there. But you can go back and listen to them. You can listen to these episodes in your car. You can listen to them at home. You can listen to them at work if your boss lets you. And, you know, just, we believe that faith comes by hearing. So if you want the faith, and you may not be in the church yet, if I were you, I'd listen to this broadcast. Because faith comes by hearing. And we always say, we have a motto here on this program, and that is this: let us change the world through faith and radio. Somehow we kind of lost track of that, but we've been trying to do a lot better job lately at making sure we say that every broadcast, and so that's what it says that on the thing, and let's change the world through faith and radio. And so we strongly believe in that. And we believe God's the God of miracles. So here we go. And it's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always. Always, always, always. Now, you may be thinking this. I'm a listener. Now, I want to get to call and talk in and talk to the miracle man and or the preacher man. We have a telephone number you can call us at. If you'd like some prayer or some prayer for a loved one. We're firm believers in prayer here. If you want to call in and want some guidance with how to give your life to Christ, or to give your life, or to pray the prayer of salvation right there on this program, if you want, you can call in and we can help you. We'd love to help you, as we're firm believers in salvation, and we're firm believers of the uncompromised Word of God. If you have a Bible question you'd like to throw at us, if you'd like to tell us why you think the grass is always greener on the other side, or if you want to know why, if it's possible, then you can tell us, talk to us. And that telephone number is 215-383-3810. Once again, that telephone number is area code 215-383-3810. Now, please remember to press 1 after being prompted. You'll be prompted to press 1. When you press 1, you will go through the call screener. And you let them know that you want to get into the Preacher and the Miracle Man show. Okay? And then we have two house rules that we ask you to kindly abide by. We don't have these house rules to be annoying. We have them to keep order on the show. And here they are. The first house rule is this. This is not a political talk show. Okay? This is not a political talk show. Yes, our governor of Michigan, Governor Rick Snyder, is going to give his state of the state address. However, this is not a political talk show. And if you want to call in and talk to us about it, and you want to talk about our governor or the president or another guy, generally what's going to happen is we're going to tell you in love, we're going to tell you to pray over your leaders, which you should be doing too. You should also be voting. If you don't like who's in there right now, go vote next time. go vote next time. There's an election. I tell you, when there's elections, you know, in August, November, I'm out there and I'm voting.
That's right.
Making my voice heard. I'm a voter. I don't just say this stuff and then don't show up to vote. Nope. I'm at the voting box. I'm voting. If I can vote, then anyone else who's over 18 who is a citizen can go vote. So with that in mind, basically what's going to happen is we're going to tell you to pray for your leaders, and if you don't like who's in there, vote next time. So you know, just help us with that, and that'll be good. And the other rule is this. This is a family-friendly show. So we kindly ask that any comments that you make that you think about verses in the Bible. For example, there's a verse in Ephesians that tells us not to let corrupt communication come out of our lips. And so with that in mind, generally we say this. If you don't want to say it to Jesus, if you wouldn't say it to Jesus, do not say it on this program. Just let that be a guide when you're thinking, you know, what you want to say and that. And so with that, we are ready to roll. I'm going to get into the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great show and this great evening. I thank you, Lord God, that you bless these listeners. I thank you that you bless me and my voice. I thank you that you bless Preacher Man's voice, Preacher Man tonight, and you redeem my time and redeem his time for all the time we've put into us, into this. I thank you that you would anoint me and them both. And if there's something you want the Preacher Man to come on here and say, just let him come on and say it. And if you want to interrupt this by any way, by any means, Lord Jesus, just come in. And we just thank you that this show continues to grow greatly. Great increases in audience. I thank you for money coming in and sponsorships coming in so it can make this a better and better show. And great sponsors coming. And I just pray, Lord God, that your hand's upon us. You're blessing me, blessing Preacher Man, blessing the listeners. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon the show. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, without further ado, let's go, if you would please. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus chapter 15. Woo! Praise God. Exodus 15. And part of what we're going to talk about tonight is about that Miriam song. As Miriam and them, they came up with a special song. And so we're going to read about that. Now, if you got your Bible with you, by all means, please turn. This is not just the Preacher and the Miracle Man show. This is a show where we want participation and engagement. So, with that in mind, if we are reading the Bible, studying, you study. If we pray, you pray. If we sing, you sing. We're praying in tongues, you pray in tongues. And so we just follow the leader. And you can't say that follow a leader is a bad idea in this case because you know, we don't do bad. So by all means, follow along with us. And everything will go wonderfully. So, and by the way, if you haven't found Exodus 15, I'm going to send a memo to your pastor to send you to Children's Church. Okay, just kidding. I'm not going to do that. But just having fun, God. Nonetheless, I found the chapter, and so we're going to begin Exodus 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them, and they sank to the depths like a stone. Like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you, and you unleashed your burning anger, and it continued. It consumed them, excuse me, like Subal. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters concealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them, and they sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you? Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in wholeness, awesome in glory, working wonders, and stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed, and in your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Nations will hear you and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by. O Lord, until the people you bought pass by, you will bring them in and will plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. And when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea as in dry land. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea as they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, and if you pay attention to his commands and you keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Think about that. Think about that. I'm going to read that verse again. There he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and you keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians." None of them. "For I am the Lord who healeth thee." Then they came to Elima, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Manah and Quail. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Zin, where, I mean, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had come out of Egypt in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat, and we ate all of the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out every day and gather enough for that day. And in this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." On the sixth day, or in other words, on Friday, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." While Aaron was speaking to the Israelite community, they looked toward the desert. And there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight, you will eat meat. And in the morning, you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord, your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And sure enough, it was nice, big, huge donuts of various flavors like peanut butter, apple fritter, chocolate, yes, custard, and
Hallelujah.
Oreo.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I wish. Oh, I wish. 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 If only. If only. If only. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "Hang on, I'm going to back up, and we're going to read it like." They found dew around the camp, and when the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the depths of the desert floor. The Israelites saw it. They said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to go and gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. They gathered much. Some much, some little. And when they measured it to the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much. And he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses, and they kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots, and it began to spoil. It began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, anyone gathered as much as he needed. And when the sun grew hot, it melted away.
And that's really cool, day, isn't it?
Yep. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. Two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. And he said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses had commanded. And it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. And you will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it. But on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the Sabbath day, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the Sabbath day, on the seventh day. No one is to go out. Oh, no one should go to the mall or anywhere on Saturday anymore, I guess. No, it doesn't say that, but no one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. It was like coriander seed and tasted like wafers made of honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the desert when I brought you out of Egypt. So Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it. Then place it before the Lord to be kept for the generation to come. As the Lord commanded, Moses, Aaron, put the manna in front of the testimony that it might be kept. The Israelites ate manna 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. And they ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. An omer is one-tenth of an ephah. Now, folks, turn with us to Hebrews 11. I could not find that page still, so like last time, 11 verses 1 through 12.
Hebrews chapter 11.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's a wonderful word.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I love the word.
Man.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, to which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But with faith, it is possible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Verse 13.
They were aliens. That they were aliens and strangers on this earth. And people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they have left, they would have had no opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God said to them, produced through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, and he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, Rahab the prostitute, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient to God. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything and the sin that hinders us, and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and seated down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's think for a minute about this thing that Moses said here in the middle of 15. He said this from God: if you obey and keep all of my commandments, I will put how many of these diseases that I gave Egypt? God said, how many diseases did he say he'd put on them? He said, I will put none of the diseases that I put on Egypt. None of them.
Zero, zilch, nada, nothing.
Yep. He said, if you follow my commandments, I will put none of the diseases that I put on Egypt. None of them. So then what that means generally is you are obedient to God. You're not gonna get sick with the diseases that you put on Egypt. So, if you, let's just say you run away from God, running away, you know, going out, doing your own thing, my life is mine, I do what I want, I do that job I want to do, me, and then you get sick, and you know, we'll just say you're out about, maybe you got some problems with talebearing or gossiping, possibly. Could it just be that maybe the reason you're sick, no, this isn't the case for everybody, but could it just be if you're being disobedient, couldn't it just be, don't worry, preacher, man, I'm not asking you this, I'm talking. Could it just be the reason you're sick and have this terrible disease on you, couldn't it just be that you're not obeying God? You're not doing what God told you to do. It could, yeah, it's very possible. No, it's not God that's giving you that sickness though. It is not God that's making me sick. Everybody who's listening to me, you're listening to this program, I'd say that along with me right now if I were all you. It is not God that is making me sick. It's not. Could come upon you from the use of your mouth, or with your mouth. It could come upon you by maybe you forgot to get the flu shot and you're around someone that has the flu really bad. Maybe you got it that way. Maybe you got the sickness and disease from lack of sleep. Maybe you got it because you weren't drinking enough water. Maybe you got it because maybe you got it because maybe you got it because but there's tons of reasons that you can get sick. But regardless of what got you here, we're going to make something really clear. It is not God that made me sick. It is not God. And if it was a person other than you, which many times it is, it's the devil When I was 3 months old and lost my eyesight, I didn't cause amaurosis to get into my eye. I didn't do it. Satan got in there. Satan got in there. He basically was like, I'm going to come to that eyesight. I'm going to take it, and I'm going to take it out. I'm going to give up this little reason out on it. And I just kept all the time, you know. And I always remember, you know, everybody needs to remember, it's not God that's making you sick. And many times it's an attack from the devil. And while I'm on this devil thing, if you're one of these people that at times struggle with get up on Sunday morning, get ready for church, everything feels well, you know, get in the car to go to church, and when you just about get to church, you don't feel so well. Hey, could it just be that possibly that the devil is trying to attack you and trying to keep you from receiving the word of God and getting in the church? Could be. That's happened to my mom before, where we were getting ready to go to church on a Sunday morning. We're getting all ready, breakfast eaten. I'm even getting my clothes on. Mom's in the bathroom and stuff. All of a sudden, she doesn't feel so well. Me and Ray didn't go to church that morning, and someone else took us that night. She was down all day. Sick. Pastor had to fight this with Dawn for a while. And Vicky, remember that? Remember that preacher man? Remember that story?
Yep. Yep.
And sometimes it can be that the devil doesn't want you in church. So he'll just keep finding ways. I'm going to get her sick. I'm going to get her belly. I'm going to get her choke. I'm going to get her. We've got to rebuke the devourer. We have to rebuke the devourer. And even if you're healthy, whether you're sick or not, what you always say is, Satan has no place in my body. I am healed and I am whole. By his stripes, we are healed. And so he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our immunity. With his stripes, we are healed. Now, sometimes maybe you're having this back, bad back thing, and maybe you might be hearing this. By his stripes, I'm healed, and I will never walk again. Hey, if that's what you're hearing, the by his stripes, you're healed part is absolutely right. You will never walk again? Uh-uh. I use that example, though, because Mark T. Barclay, a wonderful pastor, had that happen, that at one point the voices were saying it equally. By his stripes, I'm healed, and you will never walk again. You know? And at first you would think, you will never walk again. Later on, though, it was, by his stripes, I'm healed. And then after that, he never heard that you will never walk again anymore. And then he gets out of bed at 3 a.m., jumping, loud, rejoicing, because he got healed. And he's never had back trouble since. And so this never comes to mind with me, you know, by his stripes you're healed and you will never see again. No. Yes, by his stripes I am healed. He's still waiting for the manifestation. Believe in God that the manifestation is going to come through fruition. I'm going to have that eyesight. Now, over the years, I've made some progress beyond just being able to tell, you know, I've been able to tell, like when I was little, it used to be that I'd be able to tell, like, the time or try to guess what time before I had a watch. Sometimes I'd be closer than others, you know, by, like, because sometimes naturally to me it would just feel darker at certain times of night than what it would, you know, in the morning, you know. I used to think that in the morning it'd be kind of light feeling, but not quite as light as afternoon. And then to me, I always felt like evening, especially during the wintertime, would feel to get a bit more dark. You follow me, Preacher Man? Does that kind of make sense in
yes.
a way?
Yes.
So I could, so, but then after that, and even after I got my watch and learned it, how to tell time, you know, I was still thinking some of the same thoughts. And, you know, when it would be summer, yes, of course, it felt like day for longer, you know, but, you know, but it, later I began to be able to tell light from darkness. And as time went on, it would become more and more distinct. Now I can tell, like, darkness, like when you're going under one of these big overpasses. Even a small one, if you lose the sun, you know, to a little thing when you're going under an overpass, but I can kind of notice it by feeling that change. Or the lights being turned on and off. I've been able to tell the difference for quite a while. But, yes, I really have made progress. You know,
thank you, Lord.
Being able to tell more light. And I thank you, Lord God, that it's, that the rest of it's going to come. And that the rest of that actual vision is going to come. And not just to be able to feel light from darkness. Something that I'm going to be able to actually see with my own eyes. No, not talking about the vision like that God gave me, but to see with my own eyes and be able to distinctly tell.
Amen.
The colors and the light from darkness by being able to look and not just feel, you know, because, and I'm just believing for me that that's going to come and I'm going to be able to see. And so, generally, what I want you to get out of this healing message tonight, as you could tell after I read that, probably for those of your listeners, and you probably couldn't tell, obviously, most of you couldn't tell until I was done reading, but my God wanted me to talk about healing tonight, and there are two points that I would have all of you write down, and if I were one of you, I'd be writing this on a piece of paper. Point number one, realize that it is not God that is making me sick. Point number two is this. By his stripes, we were healed and made whole.
Amen.
And those are the 2 points I want you to get out of this message. And right now, I feel that God would have me pray over the sick. Now, listeners, I know that if you were right here beside me, I know that if you were sick, and if I called on you, and you said, if you were sick, come up here, and I'll lay your hands on you. And then you'd come up, and I'd lay my hands on you. as the Bible tells us, that if that he shall lay his hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Well, even though you're not here with me physically, you're listening to me on this broadcast. And I'm going to pray the prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer. And then my faith is that you will begin to recover. Lord God, I thank you for all these listeners. I pray right now, particularly over those who are fighting a battle.
Yes.
Whether it be something long-term like blindness, heart disease, diabetes, some cancer of some kind, some Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, some leukemia, any of these terrible diseases, or whether it be something that is, no, I'm not going to say minor, but something that's a bit more short-term. I claim right now that whatever the situation is, that they would be healed, the healing would be made manifest, and they would be whole, set-free, pain-free, sickness-free, and disease-free. As by your stripes, we were made healed and whole and restored just as before. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. And right now, I take authority over this really bad flu bug that's going all over this country and is making all these headlines.
Yes.
Being one of the worst.
Yes.
Quite a while. I claim that in the name of Jesus, that flu bug is going to calm down in the name of Jesus, and that it's not going to attack the people of God. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to be with us and you're going to help us to do what we need to do, and then you're going to do what you do. And I believe that in the name of Jesus, that flu bug is going to stop fighting so hard, and that it's just going to subside and be calm. As we know, Lord Jesus, if you can calm the storm, you can calm the flu bug that is going around and is spreading like a wildfire all over our land. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're with us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now.
Hey, Miracle Man, we have a caller that wants to talk to you.
All righty.
And I always like to give you their first name so you have the ability to name them by name. And this caller's
okay.
First name is Mom. Go ahead, Mom.
Hello,
you're live.
Hey, Mama.
Hi. I just thought that it was so incredible, Rivers, how when you were praying that you mentioned Parkinson's, because that's what your grandma Shukla is dealing with and literally fighting for her life as her system, you know, shuts down. And I thought, wow, I don't think I've ever heard you mention Parkinson's when you were praying before. And that just blessed your father and I a lot. And thank you for talking about faith and speaking about faith, because, Rivers, there's so many people hurting. And, you know, when we send messages out to people saying that, you know, we had to leave everything and just come to be with Grandma during this time as her body shuts down, there's so many other people that respond and say, oh, well, I'm in the hospital, my mom's in the hospital, my, you know, pray for me as well. And so when you right now pray for sick people, it's just powerful. And thank God, Rivers, that you can always tell people the miracles of Jesus Christ, and because he's alive, and we are so honored to know who he is.
And yeah, and I was reading the Bible, and it said a little thing about healing, and then I carried on, and then I just closed my Bible and get ready to exhort, and then it just comes to my mind, you know, it's like, oh, I really feel that the Lord would have me exhort on this healing thing. And, you know, because right now with this blue stuff for one thing, and I was thinking of you guys too, and I was just thinking, you know, and I was just feeling it in my spirit, and I was, so I'm just doing it, and I'm like, I'm feeling something, you know, and then I just go with it.
Well, there's a lot of hurting people, and always thinking about other people makes our life so much fuller. So don't ever stop thinking about people. Sam, we watched your video today, and it was powerful.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Some uncle just got here, and so these mourners keep coming through the house. I've never seen anything like it in my life, thank God. But mourners, there's another group of mourners here. So I have to get off the phone. All right. I love you, Livers. Thank you for doing a great job. Thank you, Sam.
Yes, ma'am. God bless you.
Okay, bless you too.
So now, Lord God, I just thank you for these people. I thank you, Lord God, that you're comforting those with loved ones, Lord God, and that you're just, and that we can always remember that you are the answer for the world today. And above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way.
Jesus
the
is the
way. Truth and life.
Okay.
Now, so there's the North American International Auto Show is right now in Detroit, going on through Sunday at Cobo Center, downtown Detroit. You can park, for example, at Greektown, and you can go into Greektown, go upstairs up to the People Mover station, hop on a People Mover, and take it to Cobo Hall. Get off the People Mover. Go inside and go downstairs to the main floor. And it's $14 per adult to get into Cobo Center. For the auto show. For senior citizens, it's $9. For kids 7 to 12, $7. And for kids 6 and under, $3. Time. Hours. Hours are 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day except for the final day, which is this coming Sunday, where hours are 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Related to this. There is no entry into the auto show after 9 p.m. tonight through Saturday night or after 6 p.m. on Sunday. So keep that in mind. What's at the auto show? All kinds of the latest and greatest cars from wide variety of automakers, domestic and foreign. All kinds of great vehicles, General Motors, Ford Company, Fiat Chrysler, Subaru, all kinds of them. Downstairs, you'll get some more luxury cars and some other exhibits. And an all-around great show. And so, that leads me to vehicle IT. And specifically, if you want to consider the car entertainment system as a form of IT, information technology, then you could say it is. For example, in 2004, my mom got a brand new car. We got a brand new car, a Buick Rendezvous. It had a good speaker system in it, but it wasn't. And it was great for the time, but it wasn't like some others I, but it wasn't as much bass as some other systems. Maybe not yet. But then, within the next couple of years after my mom got it, in some cars my dad had from General Motors and that, so like every year for the next 4 years, your cars kept getting more and more and more bass. As they were added, as the bass settings for these cars got louder and louder and louder on the newer cars. And so they really started focusing on the entertainment systems and making them a lot better. Since then, they've kind of stayed close to that ever since then, but they've now focused on making it so you can basically plug your phone in to your car. So where if you have a newer car, you can plug your phone in right there and plug your phone into the speaker system. And that's part of why I say you can listen to your phone in the car. This program through the speaker system of your automobile. And it's a beautiful thing, and you can listen to us that way. You can listen to other things that are on your thumb drive right while you're in your car, like sermons or other things you may have downloaded, maybe radio programs from the past or whatever that you downloaded on a thumb drive, and you can listen to them in your car. Used to be that you could only do it if you had a CD or cassette. Now you can use a thumb drive. And they've really come a long way with IET. If you could call it that, EIT, which would be like entertainment. No, it would be information entertainment technology, which would be IET. Or EIT, entertainment, which would be entertainment information technology. But it's come a long way. My mom, for example, has XM satellite radio in her car, which is awesome. They get to have the XM satellite radio, so it opens the door to more stations. Of course, you got to be able to know how to use it. And so, my hope is that soon, if you're out of a self-driving car, you'll be able to talk to your car and tell it which station to turn to.
What you want for supper, even, right?
Yeah, or like what station I want. Like at Christmas time, it could be turn it, like if you have XM, like, turn to traditional Christmas, you know, or turn to ESPN radio, for example, you know, or Yahoo Sports Radio or whatever, and you just tell it, and then it'll connect your radio right to that station. So that is what I hope we get to soon, as we get towards an era of autonomy. That it includes being able to speak to the car's IT system and telling it, you know, what station to put your car on. And that system has been, this automotive report has been brought to you by, like last time, your American car dealers. Great cars from Chrysler, Ford, Chevrolet, Lincoln. I mean, from Chrysler, Ford, Lincoln, Dodge. Dodge is, of course, part of Fiat, Chrysler. And then your General Motors brands, which include Chevrolet, GMC, Cadillac, and Buick. These dealers from any of these brands invite you to come in for a test drive or to just look around. If you're looking for a new car, used car, a fuel economy car, a sports car, a truck, or maybe just a nice luxury sedan. They remind you to just come in and take a look and find a new car. Good time to buy right now at many dealerships as they're doing incentives. Some of them are still trying to sell off their 2017s. So if you're looking for a new car or a used car, take a look at your American auto dealers, which remind you to think American first. Now, it is time to get into sports. So what we begin with, this is going to be a brief monologue from me on some NFL thoughts. And thought one is, this is actually a headline first, and then it's going to be what I think of it. Headline, the first big one is for Lions. It has been reported by various sources that Matt Patricia, the soon-to-be head coach of the Lions, has announced that there will be a new quarterback coach. So he's going to be shaking up the staff. It looks like more shakeups will be following. What do I think about this? I think it's a good move. I'd like to see us do a bit better at throwing, completing more like on a consistent basis. I'd also like to see us get a new running backs coach and defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, so that we can all be on the same page and more focused, as we have to be if we want to win the NFC North next year. And I think winning the NFC North can be a good goal for the Lions next season. Am I saying they will? I'm not saying that they will or won't. They have Minnesota is going to be great, again, probably, provided they don't lose all their quarterbacks. Green Bay is going to be great. I mean, probably at least be decent again, as long as Rodgers stays healthy, unless he decides to retire. Then we got Detroit. So, can we win the NFC North? It depends. Well, we're going to have to beat Minnesota, Green Bay, and Chicago, all three, possibly twice apiece if we want to win that division. I think a reasonable goal to set for next season is a bare minimum of 10 wins and 6 losses. Preferably more than 10 wins, like 11 wins or 12. But very important that they set the goal of at least 10 wins. Because with the way the NFC is right now, 10 wins is likely what it's going to take to get to the playoffs. So you're going to need 10. They couldn't make it this year with 9. So the goal needs to be set at 10 wins, I think. And I think that if Matt Patricia and everybody can have meetings, their meetings in the off season, and they can have set a goal on 10 wins, that could be something to work towards, 10 wins. 10 wins. I'd like it to be 11 wins, but I'd start it with 10. If we can somehow get 11 wins next season, but not win the title of the NFC North, then for the next year, I'd set the next goal, which would be win the North. But part of having a good team, I feel, is goal setting. Where do you want to be when the regular season is finished? And something else to think about is if you're good enough and as first and second in the league, you get a bye, which can serve to be a reward. And teams who had byes this year in NFL playoffs did very well. So something to think about. And finally, number 2. Super Bowl is next week in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And let me think, what was I going to say? There's been talk about the Lions going to 18-game season. I mean, about the NFL going to an 18-game season. And to be honest, Roger Goodell doesn't think they will. I don't think they will anytime soon. Because right now, they have 4 preseason games and then 16 regular season games, which means 20 games total that you're required to play as a team. I would be for the 18-game season, but they would have to cut out 2 preseason games in my book and add a bye for every team so that every team would get 2 byes. And they would need to set a rule that says the 2 byes can be no less than 6 weeks apart. So that you don't, for example, start regular season with, we'll say, 4 games, then get a bye, then we'll say you play 2 games, then you get your other bye. And then after that, you have to play 14 games in a row. That's not going to work. I mean, 12 games in a row, that's not going to work. It needs to be a system so that, for example, a team might play, we'll say, 5 weeks in a row. Then they get a bye. After that, you'll play the next 6 weeks or so, maybe 7 weeks. Then you'll get your other bye. Play the last 5 regular season games. You'll have to make sure that the proper health and safety stuff is in place for the players so that everything can be great. I mean, there health and safety focus. And so that's my thoughts on that. And that is NFL thought. For tonight. It's just a special feature I came up with for tonight, NFL thoughts, because there were some things NFL related that I thought I wanted to bring to the table. Tomorrow night will be the Pro Bowl. No, the Pro Bowl will be on Sunday, but I'll talk about it tomorrow night. As far as what are some main players that are in it, and who do I expect the NFC or AFC to win the Pro Bowl. And that'll be tomorrow. In sports from last night, Michigan State wins over Illinois, 89-80. And then in basketball news, you had Houston over Golden State, 109-100. And then for some team, I forget who it was, but on some team, one of the players had 40 points, over 10 steals, and then like 12 rebounds. So like a 40-point plus triple-double for the first time since Wilt Chamberlain did it back in the 60s.
Wow. Wow.
Which is amazing. And for Detroit, last night it was Detroit Red Wings versus New Jersey in New Jersey, and it was Detroit 3, New Jersey 0. And I said this a week or two ago, and I'm going to say it again. Sometimes I feel like we're watching two different Red Wings teams. One that could go places, another that's really stagnant. I hope it's what I would call team A, the team that's going to go places, because I'm not happy that it's been 12 months since I got to watch a Detroit team play in a playoff game. I'm ready for a team to play in a playoff game in Detroit. I'm not saying I'll be there, but I'll be listening.
Yep.
On the radio. Someday I will be, but it's not something the city of Detroit can do necessarily. What it is got to be the team, you know, and they got to be thinking, how can we get better, you know? No, the Red Wings don't have to meet with the Pistons and the Tigers with the Lions or any of that, but, you know, I want our teams to succeed here in Michigan. And right now, Michigan is doing well in college sports generally, but the pro sports in Michigan are doing okay, but none of them were able to make the playoffs. And so that is my final thoughts of the evening. And folks, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody. I'll see you.
So long, Miracle
tomorrow.
Man.
Thank you.
See you
so
tomorrow.
Much. Yeah.
Yep. God bless you.